Okay, so I'm up here speaking by doctor's orders. And you say, how could that be that you would be speaking because of doctor's orders? Well, because the doctor strongly advised Jim Linehan not to speak. So I guess you could say this sermon is medically necessary. I think it's spiritually, all kidding aside, I do believe it is spiritually necessary. So I would encourage you just to open up your heart and let the word speak to you. It's not me. As we said, it's the scriptures. So 20 years ago, I wanted to know grace better. I wanted to understand what is God's grace. So I started asking my spiritual friends, what's the difference between grace, mercy, and forgiveness? I got some blank stares and puzzled looks. And pretty much everybody said, I guess I don't know. Then they would ask me, so, Jim, what is the difference? I didn't know. That's why I was asking the question. I had heard explanations of grace that really did more to confuse me than help me understand what it was. Maybe that's true for you. To explain grace, many people talked about mercy. So then I wanted to say, so what's mercy? Mercy sounded a lot like forgiveness. And grace sounded a lot like salvation. It seemed to me the words grace, mercy, and forgiveness were used interchangeably. Here's some of the passages that I wondered about. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So they're connected somehow. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now this is a big one. This is misunderstood, but it's really important. I absolutely wanted to understand what that said. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought, well, growing in knowledge, I get that. You know, if I study, read, I'll grow in knowledge. But how do I grow in grace? If grace is salvation, how do I grow in salvation? If I believe I'm already saved, tomorrow, how can I be more saved? I thought, you know, it's really more likely that tomorrow I'll sin and feel less saved. So that really didn't make a lot of sense. Then Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. So mercy and grace, they must not be the same thing. They're in the same verse. They must be different somehow. So if you know me, you know I did a thorough study. It took me 7 years. I studied Old Testament, New Testament, really everything I could find on the grace of God. There's so much written about grace. Now I know the difference between grace, mercy, and forgiveness. But it totally surprised me. It wasn't that. It changed my relationship with God. Now God is bigger and kinder and more involved in my daily life. It also gave me, and you'll appreciate this, a new perspective of the blessings and challenges of life. You know, why do we have challenges? How am I supposed to feel? So I want to share with you some of my study. Now, don't worry, it's not all 7 years. This is just this is just an introduction, okay? So, because the words grace, mercy, and forgiveness are used interchangeably, I just want to start with some definitions. This was a good part of my study. So let's start with mercy. So I'm going to give you that definition. So the Greek word is eleos, that's how I'm going to say it. Kindness or concern expressed for someone in need, mercy, compassion, pity, or clemency. So really what mercy is it may be an emotion, but it's the compassion I feel that when I see a situation, it moves my heart to want to offer some relief, to do something to relieve the suffering or help with the trial or just somehow to show compassion. And the story of the Good Samaritan is a great example of mercy. So Jesus tells that story to, I guess you'd call it an expert in the law, who already knew he was supposed to love his neighbor as himself. He already knew that. So Jesus describes how the Samaritan helped a man who had been beaten and left lying beside the road. Now, lots of other people had gone by and didn't help, but the Samaritan helped. So Jesus asked this man, he says, so who was a neighbor to the man beside the road? And the expert in the law said, well, of course, the one who had mercy on him, the one who showed compassion. So that's the point. The Samaritan saw the need, and he was moved to offer some relief. He showed mercy to the man. Now, note that nowhere in there, it has nothing to do with forgiveness. The man hadn't done anything to deserve to be beaten. So next, I want to talk about grace. So this was a little more complicated. Kind of surprised when I looked, like, wow, there's a lot to this. The Greek word translated grace is, and it's pronounced charis. It's C-H-A-R-I-S, but it's pronounced like with a K. So here's the definition. A winning quality or attractiveness that invites a favorable reaction. Graciousness, attractiveness, charm, and winsomeness. So that's one aspect of it. A beneficent disposition, that's a big word, towards someone. Favor, grace, gracious care, help, goodwill. A practical application of goodwill, a sign of favor, gracious deed, gift, benefaction. An exceptional effect produced by the generosity and favor, and a response to generosity or beneficence, thanks, or gratitude. So if you're going to study words like this, I suggest you use the New American Standard Bible. That's what I use for word studies. The reason I do it is it's more of a word-for-word translation than thought-for-thought. So what's the word that's there? It's also recognized as a reliable English Bible translation. So charis, then, that word, I found, is translated grace, favor, thank, or thanks, credit, gift, gracious, or blessing. Does that surprise you? That was interesting to me. Wow, look at all those words. So there's a reason for that, but we'll see. So maybe the way to look at this is here's some verses where charis is not translated grace. You're going to recognize these. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found charis with God. All were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips, and they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:3. When I arrive, whoever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. Here's two more verses. But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me on these charges? Don't know why it went on. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So the word, you see all these in so many other uses. It was a commonly used word. Like, would you do me a favor? Not a mysterious theological concept like it is today. Today, grace has taken on a religious meaning. It's somewhat vague. Grace, mercy, and forgiveness are used interchangeably. It happens all the time. Often, grace sounds like salvation. But charis is never translated salvation. all the way through in the New American Standard Bible, never translated salvation. And the word that is translated salvation is never translated grace. So that's the advantage of studying the original words. It's like, well, they're not the same thing. There's a word for this and there's a word for that. So they're not the same thing. Okay. So grace is often described as unmerited favor. Have you heard that? You read that all over the place. But unmerited is not in that definition I showed you. So things that are in there is beneficent disposition. That's like, I'm predisposed to show you favor. Goodwill. Benefaction. I'm your benefactor. I'll do something. I'm generous. So you see that all over in that definition. Not unmerited. So what I noticed was, it's all about God's willingness. That's the key component of that word. There's willingness. And God is willing to show us favor. So, unmerited, really, to me, has a downside. Just how unmerited is okay? If I do one more thing, will God stop showing me favor? Have I already crossed the line? Also, focusing on how undeserving I am or how undeserving we are, who does that put the focus on? That's all about me. It puts the focus on me. And I think the focus needs to be on God. I don't want my... If I put my eyes on myself, I'm going to struggle. My eyes need to be on God. Whenever our eyes are on ourselves, that's an opportunity for Satan to get in there and stir up stuff. And he'd like nothing better than to stir doubts in you about your relationship with God. So unmerited favor tends to do that, if you ask me. Even mature Christians, and we got a lot in here, I'm one of them, we can have doubts about our relationship with God. You know, am I enough? Have I done enough for God? Does God even really care sometimes what I do? So I think we need to keep our focus in God and how he willingly shows us his favor. Now you notice I'm using the word favor all the time. That's really the grace of God. God is not just tolerating me. He deeply cares about me. Isn't that awesome? God sent his son to die for me. Wow, God. You did that for me? Instead of unmerited, God's favor is unimaginable. God shows us unimaginable favor. So we need an example. What if I did you an unmerited favor? Let's say you're at the mall with your family and your small children and your car won't start and you can't get home. And you think, my friend Jim, he lives nearby. I'll call him. He'll pick me up. He'll take us home. And you call me, and I said, yeah, I'll come pick you up. So I go to the mall. I load you all up in the car, and I take you home, and I drop you off. And, you know, you would probably say, Jim, I so appreciate that. You really helped me out. And I say, that's okay. I did you an unmerited favor. Now, picture that. How would you feel? Why do you say that? Have I done something? I guess he didn't really want to come pick me up. The next time you need a ride or some favor, would you call me? How would you feel about our relationship? Maybe we're not that good a friend. He's not as good a friend as I thought he was. So how about a personal illustration? He's 39 years old now, right? So I remember holding Nick in the hospital in my arms. Young baby, that's it. Probably the same picture. And I'm looking at him, and I think, I love you. We're going to have so much fun together. We're going to do so many things. I'm going to teach you how to, you know, 1, 2, 3, a whole lot of different things. So excited. I did not say, Nick, you really don't deserve it. But I'll love you anyway. The idea of merit never entered my mind. You get that, right? Nick always had my favor. As he grew up, sometimes that involved discipline or correction. Yeah, once or, you know, a few times. But my favor was always unconditional. I hope you knew that. I love this picture. Nick is enjoying life, right? You could see it in this picture. I tried hard to be a good dad to both of my sons. He has an older brother. I wanted both of them to know, without question, they have my favor. I love seeing Nick enjoy life. I still do. Get to see it more. In his teen years, Nick and I had to work on our relationship. Probably you guys all relate. You got grown children or growing up children. So here's a picture. What if I was having a heart-to-heart talk with Nick? And we're walking along, and I got my arm around him, and I say, Nick, and I say this just as sincerely as I can, I want you to know you will always have my unmerited favor. I mean, I'm trying to build my relationship. That wouldn't help. I think it's pretty devastating for children to feel like they don't have the favor of their father. That might be something to work on. Grace, so let me summarize a little here. We've got to move on. Grace is the favor of God. Forget about unmerited. It only adds to the confusion. Unmerited puts the focus on me instead of on God. Unimaginable puts the focus on God where it needs to be. And the nature of God. His nature is he wants to show us his favor. He's eager to do that. It's in the Word. When life is difficult, instead of wondering where is God or is God upset with me or have I done enough, just look around and look for ways that God has shown you favor in your life. I think if you look for it, even in those most severe trials, you'll be able to find it. So now we got to define forgiveness, and I'm just going to hit this quickly. The Greek word forgiveness is aphesis. A-P-H-E-S-I-S in the anglicized. So the point is no other word was translated forgiveness. That's the word. The definition of it, I don't have a slide, is the act of freeing and liberating from something that confines. So we're kind of confined by our sin. Release. The act of freeing them from an obligation, guilt, or punishment, pardon, or cancellation. So here's some examples of forgiveness. So on the day of Pentecost, when the people said, hey, Peter, what shall we do? He said, told them how they could be released from their sins. That's the point of forgiveness. So the last verse says, forgiveness is possible because of the grace of God, right? I mean, if he didn't favor us, it wouldn't be possible. So let me recap these. Grace is the favor of God. By the favor of God, we can be saved. By God's favor is why we can be saved, not how. His favor is why we can be saved, not how we are received, because he favors us. Mercy is the compassion to offer relief, and forgiveness is being set free from our sin. So the Apostle Paul is probably the greatest example of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And he wrote most of what we're reading here anyway, and most of what we know in the Bible. So how did he learn that? What did he say about his own life? So here it is in 1 Timothy, and he says, you know, remember, I was a bad dude. And I realize now God showed me mercy. When I'm killing Christians and persecuting, he didn't take me out. He didn't kill me. I'm doing all this and he let me go. God showed Paul mercy. He had compassion for Paul, thinking, well, he didn't understand. You know, if you were hurting my children, that's not how I would be. So God was very compassionate. He showed Paul mercy long before Paul became a Christian. Does that sit well with you? Now look at Galatians 1:15. This is Paul. But when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased, and then it goes on. So he says, you know what? God favored me from my mother's womb. Now, if grace is salvation, that doesn't work. You know, you think, how could a man like Paul be saved? But that's not what it is. Grace is not salvation, it's the favor of God. And Paul, he's a mature Christian now, he's looking back on his life. Is that true? I was favored. Well, yeah, it was. I got the best possible Jewish education. I was equipped in the law, maybe better than anybody. So that really helped me when I want to teach Jews about Jesus, that I know all that. I was a Roman citizen. Think about that. That meant that I had access. It opened doors for me being a Roman citizen. I got to talk to Festus, the governor of Judea, and Agrippa, King Agrippa, and Caesar, the Roman Empire. If he wasn't a Roman citizen, he wouldn't have got to do any of that. And Paul's recognizing that, and maybe that happens for you. You look back in your life and go, wow, God was working there. And that's what he did. So, having God's grace did not mean Paul was saved, his favor. Having God's mercy did not mean he was forgiven. So you should find out then, well, where was he forgiven? Well, Paul wrote that in his own words in Acts 22. Remember, he's arrested and in Jerusalem, and he goes before the powers that be there, and there's like, hey, give an account for yourself. And he says, well, the God of our fathers has chosen you, me. This was Ananias, actually. Whoops, bumped the button. So he's talking about what Ananias said back in Acts 9, you know, when all that happened. He said, then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. So, I think Paul is like show and tell. He tells us in all these passages about the grace of God. Like Ephesians, the passage that a lot of people get stuck on that, like 8 and 9 and around in there. Well, if you want to know what saved by grace means, all you got to do is look at what Paul did.
That's right.
He wrote about grace and mercy, but when it came time to forgiveness, he said, hey, I was baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. That clears it up. Show me what you mean by the things that you said. So that's Paul. So a lot of these verses originally, maybe not so much now, took a lot of thought for me to understand. What really helped me was to substitute the word favor for grace and compassion for mercy in the verse. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in compassion, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by favor you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his favor, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by favor you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It was part of the generosity, the benefaction, the beneficence of God. Charis. That's why he did it. So this week, try that for yourself. If there's a verse about grace you're puzzled about, substitute favor in there and see what you think. So to wrap this up, if you're studying the Bible and thinking about becoming a Christian, God is already showing you favor. Maybe somebody reached out to you. That was the favor of God. He longs for a relationship with you, and merit has nothing to do with it. He already knows all the dirt on you, all the bad, the ugly, everything you've done. He already knew that. He already, even for us old Christians, sometimes we forget, God already knew that in the beginning. That's how I have a relationship with him, and he still wants a relationship. If you're a Christian and you're going through a tough time, you might wonder, maybe, where is God? Does God know what I'm going through? Does God really care? Yeah, I've had that experience too. Understand God's grace really helps when it seems God doesn't answer my prayers. Or he doesn't answer in the way that I wanted him to answer. Or maybe on my schedule. Like, not now. Trusting God's favor really helps me accept his answers. Now, I know this has been a bit of an academic, I suppose, sermon. Come at you with a lot. But we really need to understand grace. I think it makes a huge difference. Understanding grace is life-changing. I'm not overstating that at all. When you know you have your Father's favor, it changes things for you. So I want to close with this verse. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. So this week, let's keep our eyes on God and look for ways that he is showing us favor. Amen? Amen.